Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to start with just a little bit of a history lesson, if you will. Just give you a little background of what's taking place here. It says, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The Passover, it was a special feast which remembered the work of God that God had done for his people of Israel. Now the people of Israel, they were found to be enslaved to the people of Egypt. And they cried out to God for help. And ultimately, God, by the hand of his servant Moses, led the people out of Egypt. Now the the very last of the plagues to happen, there was several plagues that God gave Egypt the chance to let the people go. The very last of the plagues was called the Passover. And this was a terrible thing. God, in preparation, had his people and anyone who would listen. They were to take a lamb, sacrifice it, and they were to eat the meat in haste. But the blood from the lamb, they were to mark on the doorposts, for God was descending the destroyer. He was sending his wrath upon that place. But when he saw the blood on the doorposts of the faithful, he passed by. If he did not see the blood, then the firstborn male of both man and beast would die in each home, including Pharaoh's son. It was to foreshadow the death of the only son of Jesus that would cause the freedom of God's people. So this Passover, which is still celebrated today by the people of Israel, it was a major feast. And it marked God's deliverance. It marked God's deliverance of his people. So this feast was held in Jerusalem, and it was time for the feast to come. So Jesus, fulfilling the law, goes to this place. Now the crazy thing is, both the temple and it itself and the sacrifices that took place in the temple foreshadowed or pointed to Jesus, who was God in the flesh coming to his people. Now this feast, even though it marked a great thing, somehow over the years had become a way for religious leaders to exploit the faithful. People would come to the temple to celebrate this holy celebration. And they would make sacrifices to God, remembering his mighty work and confessing that they were breakers of God's law and they needed his forgiveness. But when they got to the temple, the people were being told, one, maybe their sacrifices weren't good enough, or leave your sacrifices at home, you can purchase things to sacrifice at the temple itself. You see, they were exploiting the people, and the religious leaders were becoming rich, while the people who just wanted peace with God were being made even more poor. This would repeat itself through history, as we saw at the time of the Reformation, but we won't go into that now. But what we will say is this is really, really bad. Think about what God desires to give the people. Peace with him. That was the whole reason that Jesus was to come, to bring peace between God and man, and here it was being exploited. God's grace and mercy were being used to make people rich. The temple before the death of Jesus, it was the place where God's people went to meet with him. And everybody that went there, they knew that they had broken the Ten Commandments, meaning they had not loved God nor their neighbor as themselves. The people deserved God's punishment, but the temple was a place where God desired to take away their punishment and make peace with them. But here is Jesus in our gospel today. Remember, one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Does anybody know? God with us. Now here is Jesus, God with us. He approaches the temple. When Jesus came to Jerusalem for the feast that was to mark peace and freedom, he found people taking advantage of one another in his name. His name means Yahweh saves. And it was salvation by suffering, death, laying down his life for the sake of others. And here he finds people using others for the sake of gain. It says, in the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. With the sheep and the oxen, everything's got to go. And then he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written about him, zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to bring God's mercy and grace to people that deserve help. His death would bring God's mercy, meaning that all who believe in Jesus would not get the punishment that they deserved. And more than that, his resurrection would bring us grace, meaning that we would get the heaven that we never could have earned. Not only are we not punished, but we have heaven with him. This is something we could never earn. It is a gift fully given out of God's love and care for the people of his creation. God loves you. He does not want anybody taking advantage of you in any way. Jesus came because God so loved the world, and here were people speaking for God that were using God's people. These people knew that they were sinners and they wanted God's peace, but they were just getting used again. And this sparked Jesus' anger. You see, Jesus, by displaying his anger, was doing two things. Remember, he came to die even for those who were abusing others. Thanks be to God for that, because everybody in this room has used another person, sinned against them in some way. Every one of us, whenever we break any of the Ten Commandments, we become the money changers. We become the ones that take advantage. And on the flip side, every one of us in this room have been sinned against. Right? I have. You have. We all have. And here Jesus comes and says, stop. It's like scolding a child who runs out into a busy street. It sounds angry, but where's it coming from? I don't want my children to get hurt. Stop. This house is something different than what you're using it for. Get it out of here. This is a place where you can come for peace. Get the other junk out of here. They needed to be stopped. Jesus' actions shined the light of God's truth on the whole situation. People are like this. We can get going in something. At first we're like, is this okay? I don't know. And we just become accustomed to it. Nobody there thought they were doing anything wrong. It just became the way it was. But it was sin. I've done that. I do that all the time. I need God's word sometimes to say, stop. You're actually hurting somebody. Stop. You don't have to be used this way. Somebody's actually hurting you. So the truth of God's word shines on this moment. Not everybody was willing to repent. Not everybody liked the light that shined in the darkness. So the Jews said to him, "Well, what signs do you show for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? You're talking crazy." But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. What's the proof? The resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the dead changes everything. The resurrection of the dead is the fulfillment of the scripture. Resurrection of the dead, it's hope for you and me. He points them to what Lent is leading up to. They didn't have proof then, but they would have proof. And you notice after the resurrection, in one day, after the Holy Spirit was given, in one day the church grew by 3,000 people. I think sometimes some of these people heard this. They're like, okay, that's proof. Some people believed, others didn't. But what about us? We believe because Jesus rose from the dead and because people were willing to die to witness of what they saw. You've got all the apostles, minus John, died because they saw the resurrection. You see the apostle Paul dies, for he had seen the resurrected Christ. And because of them, we believe. Jesus' death was for our sin, and receiving his work is the only justification for our sin. Jesus had every right to do what he did that day because of what he was going to do in the days to come. I lost my place a little bit, so I'm sorry if I sound a little bit confusing as I jump back into my place. I want you to think about why you come here each and every week, or why maybe you haven't been here in a while and you come back. Ultimately, there's so many different reasons, but ultimately I hope that it's because you desire peace with God. When I became a Christian, there was one word that summed it all up. Peace. I didn't have it. And oftentimes, I still lose it. I can go through my week and get troubled. This is supposed to be a place of refuge. Here, I have to walk past that font, and I remember I was purchased and won. God put his name upon me. I look up to the front and I am about to receive my body, my blood, Jesus says, given and shed for you. To give you what? Peace. And also to give you love for others. You ever get tired of taking advantage and being taken advantage of? You ever get tired with being at war? That's what it feels like sometimes. I'm at a war to get the best grade. I'm at a war to get the best job. I'm at war. It's enough. I want peace. So I come here to receive something. A guy, God's son, that did everything for me. And I can't contribute to it at all. And I can't take away from it at all. So I come for peace. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. And he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in a man. Jesus was unswayed in his work by the fickleness of human hearts. We praise God one moment and then curse our neighbor with the same tongue. I do it, and I don't like it, but I do it. We are sinners through and through. And we, unlike Jesus, we always desire the praise of other people. I want people to think I'm doing a great job, and so do you. And sometimes we'll bend this way or that because we're not getting the praise we want. Jesus was unswayed. It says he did not entrust himself to the hearts of men because he knew what was in men. He knew that Palm Sunday would lead to Good Friday. He knew that everybody laying down branches. He knew that 5,000 people in worship on the Sermon on the Mount would lead to 3 people in worship at the foot of the cross. He was coming to serve whether people responded or not. We, as Christians, we want to serve as we've been served. We want to love as we've been loved, whether we're getting something back or not. We want to start from the place of having. See, we come to service today to receive God's love. We're starting from a place of having. And we want to go out into the world not acting like we're needy. We want to be willing to serve as we've been served. Jesus today is here to wake us up, as he did when he cleansed the temple. He wants us to know that sin, that is breaking the Ten Commandments, is serious. It's serious when it's being done to us, and it's serious when we do it to others. It's as risky as it would have been for the Israelites not to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. God's wrath goes out against sin. We want to be under the place where it was carried out, under the cross of Jesus. We want to be gathered around the gifts of forgiveness, earned at Jesus' cross, but given out in the sacraments. That's where we want to be. We want to stay close so that we can receive his zeal that he has for the Father and for us. That is, we want to receive his love, his passion. We don't want to be swayed by the opinions and lies of others, of other sinners just like us. We want to stay close to Jesus, the only one who speaks the truth that sets the captives free. Now, this very day, you and I are here in the presence of Jesus. Take a moment of silence and think about that. He has promised whenever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. And he's here to save. He's here to rebuke unrepentant sin that we have and to forgive us the sins that we want to be saved from. He is here in passion. He is here in zeal. He is here out of love for his Father and his great, great love for you. We want to stop and listen to him. We want to stop and receive him. And we pray that his zeal and love for us would transform us into people that no longer take advantage of others, but rather into people that stand up for others, that serve others as he serves and stands up for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.